All right, I think we're live. Let's see here. Oh my gosh, it actually worked. Hello, everybody. Let me turn my light on. It's kind of dark. Let's see if that helps. All right, that's pretty good. All right, I can't believe this actually works. I've been trying to use my desktop to come to you guys, and the last like 700 times, I haven't had that many episodes, but it's felt like that. It has not worked. So it has worked. I'm so excited. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Hope Savara here. Coming to you live from the cold, but not snowy, Wisconsin. It is Thursday. What day is it actually? December 12th. So we're kicking off the 12 days before Christmas. And I don't know if you're going to be spending the holidays on the road. If you are, thank you so much for what you do. I really appreciate it. If you aren't, if you are heading home for the holidays in the next couple of weeks, where is home? Where are you heading to? And how long do you get some time off? Good morning. Today we are talking about a couple of things, and I hope that you will enjoy the show. But first things first, I want to share with you yesterday. Well, this wasn't just yesterday, but it's been the last couple of days. I have been on this journey, let's call it, down the rabbit hole of no return, reading federal regulation. On behalf of the trucking world, I have been reading safety and what they call safety and health, federal regulations. And oh my gosh, I described it yesterday as rubbing sandpaper on my face and calling it a facial. Absolutely, positively, one of the most painful experiences I have had in a very long time. I spent some time on the phone yesterday getting absolutely nowhere with people that I'm pretty sure didn't have any idea what I was talking about. But here's why. Looking into a couple of different avenues, because we're working on some programming that can help trucking companies begin to meet a standard of expectation that I am taking upon myself to really say, hey, our drivers need to meet these standards and we're going to help them do it. Meaning our drivers, we care about our drivers. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be fit. We want them to be able to live the best lifestyle that they can on the road. And here are some parameters. Here are some things that they can do. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to give you a hot tub in your truck, although that would be interesting. But what I am saying is I'm just trying to create some sort of basic guideline. I've talked to a couple DOT medical examiners and really trying to help you all, because this is like my bone to pick moving forward here, is really trying to create a standard. And what I found reading these regulations and talking to people that only know how to read off of a computer screen and tell me exactly what I just read, okay? There isn't really anything aside from the, I think it's 6 pages that a DOT medical examiner has to fill out. Some of them are just jargon anyways. I mean, there really isn't anything. So, okay, so you pass your physical and you get your medical card, but then what? Like, it doesn't really mean that you're healthy. If you're smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, that doesn't exactly scream health. If you're never drinking any water, if your back hurts, if you have a herniated disc, if your knees are shot, if you feel so stiff when you get out of your truck, you're like, hey, dude, give me a second while I like slowly stand up because my body is still locked in the same position as the position of my truck seat. That is not health. That is not health. And truckers are not the only ones. Anybody that sits, anybody that's sedentary, anybody that lives a lifestyle where they're just not moving enough is definitely at risk for this. But I definitely think y'all have a much harder time in trying to make this easy because you just can't get up when you're not feeling great. Like you're on the road, you're gonna drive this 18-wheeler into the back of who knows how many vehicles and probably get into a little bit of trouble. So that's what I've been spending my time doing the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, is reading the most boring literature that I can ever imagine. I wanna bang my head against the wall. And it's not boring because trucking is boring. It's boring because they make it so dry and complicated, and so many words to say something so small. So yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on if your company offered some training, offered incentives, offered opportunity, offered materials, offered education, whatever it is, what would you want that to look like? And I totally get it. Health, wellness, being fit and active, being able to get down on the floor with your kids or grandkids, you know, thinking about not wanting to be in a wheelchair at whatever age you are right now, looking into the future. We all think that that is never going to happen to us and that doesn't matter or that's no big deal. But the reality is it's going to happen to all of us unless we do something about it. And I see this all the time. My grandmother-in-law, my grandparents are now passed, which makes me sad when I think about it, but we're not thinking about that right now. She, I think I said this on the last week's show, she just got out of an assisted living slash like nursing home recovery. She's 86 or 87. And because she cracked her hip. She was actually leaving the Aurora Clinic from an appointment, tripped over their rug and cracked her hip. Like, talk about like feeling great when you leave the doctor's office. And then they told her that it wasn't fractured or cracked, sent her home, was in a ton of pain, came back. And then they were like, oopsies, I made a mistake. But that's neither here nor there. But my point is she spent several weeks in a wheelchair. And I think it really dawned on her that if she doesn't start trying to take care of herself, especially after this happened, she may always, forever, for the rest of her life, be in a wheelchair. And I think this happens to a lot of us. We don't recognize how important our independence is, how important our health is, until it's either taken away, we see a glimpse of it being taken away, or we experience what it's like to not have it. I mean, am I wrong to say that? I think about the time in my life where I was knee-deep in an eating disorder and I was super sick. I mean, super, super sick. Drugs, alcohol, you name it. And it was like, all of a sudden it dawned on me one day how if I continue down this path, I won't have a life. I like didn't have a life. I'd alienated all my friends and family. I was lying all the time. I was hiding everything all the time. I was like, literally my body was breaking down. I was living in a body that was literally shutting itself down. And I was like, holy crap, I don't want to live this way. And maybe you felt that way, whether it's you feel like you're overweight, whether it is you want to quit smoking, drinking, you need to whatever it is. I think we all hopefully have gotten a glimpse into the future and say, hey, I want to do something about it. Because here's the thing. Even if your company, if you're a company driver, says, hey, I have this training for you. I have these products for you. I have this book for you. I have this incentive of $500 or whatever it is to take better care of yourself. It has to come from within, or it's only going to be temporary. And I see people make fun of me sometimes. I'm not going to call this person out. And I know he does it in good fun, but he makes fun of me about, you know, health and taking better care of yourself. But guess what? All of a sudden that day is going to come where you can't do the things that you want anymore. And you are more than not responsible for that. There are a lot of things we can control and can't control in our lives, but our health to a certain degree is actually one of them. And it's complicated eating at a truck stop. I get it. Like when I travel, it's like, ugh, I feel like crap, but I'm working on that. We're trying really hard. We have some things in the works, hopefully some new options. The thing is, I hear from all the people on the other end, that means you got to buy them and old habits die hard. But this kind of leads me into the end of 2019. And I want to start a conversation for the end of 2019. What do you want? What do you want for yourself in the new year? So it's December 12th. It's 12 days roughly until Christmas. Roughly another, what would that be? Seven. So 20 days, 18 days, whatever, until the end of the year. Do not wait until January 1 to go, I'm going to take better care of myself. Like, this is the year I'm going to walk every day. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to make my own food for a couple of days while I'm out on the road, whatever it is. Do not wait. Do not wait until January 1 to do this. And here is why. The people that wait until January 1, I don't know the percentages, I don't remember it when I was reading it, but the people that wait and say tomorrow are way, 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 way more likely to not do anything than the people that start today. There is power in starting anything that you want today. There is more power in starting what you want today than saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. It's like when all my kids go to bed. So I have three kids. I get my kids to bed and it's like sometimes between 7:30 and 8:30, depending on what we had going on that day. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do anything anymore. And like this little birdie in my ear says, you have time. You can do this. Or don't complain about not having what you want. And what I mean by that is it's usually going to the gym and walking on the treadmill. I do some, a little bit of weightlifting, yoga, whatever. And a lot of times it's at night versus in the morning. And so I have this like little birdie in my ear where it's like, yeah, I could sit down on the couch and scroll Facebook or watch a movie or whatever it is. And sometimes I do, but there's this little birdie in my ear that says, you are in control of this, Hope. And I'm sharing this with you because people look at me all the time and go, oh, you're so skinny or you're so healthy. It must be so easy. And first of all, I can't control the genetics that I have. But two, it's a choice that I make every single day. Please hear me say this. It is a choice that I make every single day. Some days I blow it. Some days are better than others. Some days I have two cups of coffee instead of one. Some days I don't go to the gym. Some days I sit in front of my computer for 12 hours. Some days I eat Peeps, you know, the whole container of them. You know, some days I don't do so great. But I recognize that so much is in my control. And I want to remind you all of that today, even if you're a trucker. I always say you don't have to be a mother. You don't have to be a trucker. You don't have to be a yogi to practice mother trucker yoga, because this is about being a human. This is about being a person responsible for yourself. And I might be preaching right now, and I apologize, but if you're listening, listen to the preach. You are in complete control of your health to the capacity that you make the decision every single day on what food to eat, how much water to drink, how much you move within the constraints of your day, your job, your parameters. Obviously, don't go walking down the interstate. Like, that's dumb. Don't do it. It's kind of like, don't use the blow dryer in the bathtub. I'm just saying that, like, you have control. Yes, truck stop food sucks rear end, most places. But they do have some healthy options. Have you ever used Instacart before? Let me pull it up for you. So when I travel, I use Instacart. I'm gonna pull up the app here, if it's syncing here. Okay. Hold on a second here. Okay. So that's Instacart. So I have Kroger Foods up right now. And you can type in your zip code, your location, the truck stop that you're parked at, the park and ride, wherever, the parking lot, I don't know, your house. Okay. You're getting home and you just want groceries and you don't want to go grocery shopping. All right. Free shipping for $35 or more. I think it's like you get 3 weeks free or 2 weeks free. And then it's like 99 bucks a year, which is like an awesome deal because you don't have to go anywhere. And you can literally shop any of the grocery stores within your region. You can pick Aldi's. You can pick Whole Foods, I think. You can pick Walmart. You can pick, you know, wherever, whatever's closest. And you can pick those and grocery shop. So don't give me it that you don't have access to healthy food. You could cook or make a couple of meals if you're going home that maybe last you 1, 2, or 3 days. At least that's 1 day. At least that's 2 days. At least that's 3 days. You could make some snacks to eat so that you're not eating Doritos and Pringles and God knows what else every single day. It is a choice. It is a choice. And I am not looking down on anybody because, hell, I had a food addiction for more than 15 years. I still struggle with it. I'm still very conscious of these ingrained patterns within me that make me want to not use food in the right way. So I get it. I get it. Like, I totally get it. But we have to come to the place where we have had enough, where we are ready to make a change, and we're going to do what it takes. It's like when you hear those inspirational stories. There was that man that was, I think, a paraplegic parachuter or paratrooper. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the story. But he was on crutches, and then all of a sudden he's doing yoga and headstands, and it's like unbelievable. He like lost a bunch of weight. Fantastic. Like, love the story. It's a video. I'll try to find it and share it on Chrome and Steel. But absolutely inspiring because he recognized that he had a choice. Most choices that impact our lives the most, the biggest, are the hardest ones to make. Are the hardest ones to make. And I am the queen of poor me. Poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. I used to do that all the time to everybody around me, to myself. Like, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what my circumstances are. You don't know how hard it is. Was you literally the words that I would tell people. Like, you don't know. You don't know. It's so hard. You don't understand. And what I was trying to do was justify the fact that I wasn't ready to change. And I'm sharing this with you because it's December 12th. It's a few short weeks away from 2020. And although I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions, if you remember back to October, we talked about the last 90 days. What do you want for yourself? What do you desire? How do you see yourself in a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Reverse engineer it. If you want to be 100 pounds lighter, we got to work backwards, okay? So if your goal is to lose 100 pounds, you have to ask yourself, what would be the next step to get to that? Well, I could start drinking more water. Okay, then what? I have to start learning what portion sizes actually are, healthy portion sizes, okay? I need to actually feel what it's like to be hungry. I need to start reading the ingredients label and stop eating crap. Why? Because there's a lot of research that says when you're eating chemical shitstorm food, it actually wreaks havoc on your metabolism, your digestive system, your excretory system, also known as going number two. Start eating real food. Get out and move more. Remember that math formula back from high school, calories in, calories out? They have to like cancel each other out. That means we have to start moving more. And do not give me that BS that you can't exercise, that you can't get up and move. That's BS. I'm calling you out on it. Yeah, this is like Hope the Judge today. I'm calling you out on it because you can. You can do stuff from the driver's seat. You can do stuff on the sleeper in your cab of your truck. You can do things right on the step of your truck. Step up, step down, step up, step down. Try doing that for a minute straight. Your heart is going to be so beating hard out of your chest. You're going to finally start spiking your metabolism and you're going to start burning some calories. You can walk around your truck. You can park further away and walk in and out of the truck stop, in and out, in and out, in and out. How many times? You can. You can use the fitness center at the TA Petro. Don't be scared. You can do it, even if it's just one thing. You have options. I want you to ask yourself right now, am I using them? So if your goal is to lose weight, what's your plan? And if you don't have a plan, I like writing things down. If you don't have a plan, do not expect to get to that result. If you haven't taken the time to create a plan, don't expect to have the time to enjoy the results. Someone told me that many, many years ago when I was trying to get into recovery, and they asked me, okay, Hope, if you don't want to listen to us, what's your plan? And I looked at her and I was like, I don't know. I didn't really say it like that. Actually, I was much more rude. I was in my early 20s. That was rude. What's your plan? And I never thought about it. I never thought about what my plan would be. I knew that I wanted to live a certain life. I knew I wanted to be different than where I was. I knew that what I was doing was slowly killing me. I wasn't happy. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was just completely consumed by addiction. But I didn't have a plan. And I think this is where we sometimes, there's a gap, right? I mean, comment in the comment section if you agree with me. We have clarity on what we want. We're frustrated because we're not getting there. So we invoke external blame. You know, it's that person, it's this person, it's my trucking company, it's the truck stops, it's this, it's that, it's my wife, it's my husband, it's whatever. I mean, you name it, I'm the queen of excuses. Because we didn't have a plan. So I'm going to challenge you today. We're coming up on the end of our last 90 days before the end of the year to come into 2020. Do you have a plan? If you don't have a plan, spend 5 minutes today. You have 5 minutes. I assure you, if you don't, I will hop on the phone with you and we will look through your daily schedule and I will help you find 5 minutes. Like, that's how committed I am to you. We will find you 5 minutes and I will actually help you create a plan. So if your goal is to retire in 5 years, if your goal is to quit smoking, have you ever heard of Rigs Without Cigs, St. Christopher Truckers Relief Fund? They have an amazing program. And when people use it, it has an extremely high success rate. Plan to get you to the solution. Plan to get you to your end goal. Plan to get you where you want to be. A plane would never take off without a plan, also known as a roadmap, also known as directions. You would never leave the loading dock without knowing which route you were going to take to your final destination. Like, that's just dumb. You would never do that. I know you wouldn't. You're smart. You're a talented professional. You don't just allow them to see where this road takes me and hope that my reefer doesn't break down and the food doesn't expire, but whatever, you know, things don't break, or this road isn't going to mess with the whatever it is in my cargo, you know, whatever. You leave your loading dock with a plan on how to get to your destination. Do you see? You're doing it every single day. You're creating plans for yourself every single day. Every single day. All you have to do now is look at what destination that you want for yourself with your finances, with your health, with your fitness, with your family, with whatever it is. What is your end goal? What is it that you want? Do not wait for other people. Okay, hear me on this. Do not wait for somebody else to create a plan for you. Do not wait for somebody else to swoop in and say, this is going to solve all your problems. Because if they're saying that, there's a catch. And it's probably temporary. I want you to take responsibility for your life today. There is nothing more empowering. There is nothing more empowering than taking responsibility for yourself. Some people look at my parenting sometimes and they think that I maybe don't do enough for my kids because I let my kids do a lot for themselves. They're 11, 9, and just turned 5. Ivan just turned 5 on Tuesday. And they usually make their own lunches. They clean their own rooms. They have jobs. I do not pay them for chores. They are responsible for their assignment notebook, for studying for tests, for filling out their reading log. I don't remind them. I ask them what their homework is once after school, and then it's their responsibility. I say, hey, let's do homework now, but they need to look in their assignment notebook. I'm not over their shoulder. I never have been. I don't ask them any of that stuff because I want them to learn how to create a plan for themselves, how to time management. If they want a good grade, they better figure out how to study. And obviously I'm here to help them. I don't just throw them to the wolves. I study with them. But my point with this is I don't babysit them. Struggle on some level is healthy, is good for us. It helps us decide what's important. When I was first trying to get into recovery, I had an enabler in my life and I love her, but she did a damn good job at just keeping me healthy enough to survive. And when that enabler was gone, I had to decide if I was going to sink or swim. And I hated it. It was uncomfortable. I was mad, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me, where I had to decide how much I wanted something and I had to make a plan for myself. So I'm asking you here today, what is your plan? It doesn't mean you have to fly solo, okay? It doesn't mean that you're doing it on your own. But what it does mean is that saying, this is what I want, and I'm going to start to figure out what I need to get there. Is it mother trucker yoga? Do I need to go see my doctor again? Do I need to invest in some fitness equipment? Do I need to park further away from the truck stop every day so I at least walk another 50 feet. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Do I need to download the Instacart app? Do I need to use the fitness center when I'm parked at the Petro that has one? Like, it's free. Who cares if you look like an idiot? Half the time when I go into the gym, I look like an idiot for the first 5 to 10 minutes because I'm like, okay, this is not something I'm used to using. How do I figure this out? And I want the end result more than I care about how much of an idiot I look like. So you can do this. You can do this. Creating a plan is not set in stone. Creating a plan helps you stay accountable. And when you sit down and put the pen to the paper and you actually start writing it out, what an empowering experience that can be for you to take your life back again. So if you have said to me, anyone, yourself, for the last 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, I'm going to blank, and you haven't blanked yet, it is probably because you don't have a plan. I mean like a real plan. I'm going to join Weight Watchers. I am going to start taking or using, you know, do a smoothie every single morning. Don't tell me you can't do it. I've met many of truckers that do. Many of truckers that do. They literally bring their blender into the truck stop, pluck it into the wall, fill it up with ice, fill it up with fruit, whatever it is, and they make their smoothie. So don't tell me you can't, okay? Whatever it is, Do you have a plan? And I'm here to help you. If you don't know how to make a plan, I mean, I didn't know how to make a plan at one point. If you don't know how to make a plan, reach out to me. I am literally giving you a lifeline. What was that show, the $1 million show, the game show, where it's like you get a lifeline, call a friend, 50-50, pull the audience. Well, I am giving you a lifeline to reach out to me and say, Hope, I need help creating a plan. I'm happy to help you create a plan. But here's the thing. I can't do the plan for you. So we have to create a plan that's doable for you. I'm a big fan of one foot in front of the other. You know, just small steps, small changes. And I know sometimes that's not the big, gigantic results that we want right away. But I like permanent change. I didn't just want to be in recovery for like a year. I wanted to be in recovery for the rest of my life. I wanted to be able to live healthy. I was told that not by one doctor, not by two doctors, but by three doctors, that best case scenario, I just learn how to function in this world on medication. I just figure out how to get through the day and do the best that I can. That is what I was told. And I decided that that was not going to be my end game. That was not going to be my final destination. I walked out of that room with a plan. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew that I had to create one. And then I sat down and I started to create one, and it slowly started to unfold and things changed along the way. Okay, that's the thing too. When you're flying an airplane and there's a storm and you have to change altitude or it's really bad and you actually have to reroute somewhere, that's okay too. But don't expect to go into 2020 and the whole world is going to change because it's a new year, okay? The tides shift and the planets align and poof, your life is better, because I just don't think it's going to happen. But if you have a plan and you figure out a plan and you create a plan today, you start today. You don't have to have it all figured out, but you actually say, you know what? I'm going to walk today. I'm going to do some yoga in my truck. I don't need that second helping of food. If y'all been into Iron Skillet, I know some of their food on that menu is not that great. But I've eaten off of the Stay Fit menu, and I have to say, it is really, really damn good. It is really good, and the portions are appropriate, and you get the whole salad bar. And then if you want, have a dessert because you just ate really healthy. There are options that can fit into your plan to help get you where you want to go. You have to decide if you're worthy of a plan. Do you actually believe that you are worthy of a plan? Do you really think that you deserve your end result? And I'm sharing that with you because I didn't think I was. I still struggle with that. Like, why would anyone pay me that? Or I don't deserve that. Or it's like, I think I should be working my whole life for free. Sometimes I feel like I am a nonprofit. Because everybody just wants something for nothing. But when you have skin in the game, when you're willing to do it, you're willing to do what it takes. And so that's my soapbox for today. I also wanted to talk a little bit about preparing for the holidays. So if you haven't, though, I want to take a quick little time out. If you haven't ever hopped over to the TA Petro, Greenville, Tennessee, you haven't ever been there yet, please stop in and say hi. You can eat at IHOP. They have some healthy options. You can stop and get a coffee, get a healthy snack. Tell them over a hello from Chrome and Steel Radio. If you haven't been to Jack's Chrome Shop yet, feel free to please pop over there. DDH10, you can get 10% off on your order. Deck out your truck. It's going to be amazing. And obviously, if you have never been to MotherTruckerYoga.com, step over to MotherTruckerYoga.com. Use the code MTY2019 and check us out for free for 30 days, MTY2019, and see what it's like to start exercising in your truck, doing a little yoga. Yes, I just said yoga for truckers. Something is better than nothing. Let's help you start feeling better. That could be a part of your plan. That could be a part of your plan. But preparing for the holidays. So I'm always fascinated with what people like to do for the holidays. Like, what are your traditions? What are you do? Do you go home for the holidays? Do you set up a tree? Do you not set up a tree? Do you buy presents? Do you do gifts exchanges? Like, what do you do? So I'm 35. My whole life, I've only had a fake tree two times. And this year, we have a fake tree. Now, drop in the comment section, are you a live tree enthusiast or are you a fake tree enthusiast? I like the real tree. And it's probably a little bit based in like my memory bank, because I have such good memories of going with my mom and dad and my sisters to Stein's, which was our like local gardening store. And we'd like sift through all the trees. My dad would pull them out and be like, oh no, not that one. Oh no, not that one. And we always liked the like sad looking trees. We always liked the Charlie Brown trees. I mean, drop in the comment section, what do you like? Like, we loved the really like slightly like this tree is the reject. Like, we liked those trees. And you bring it home, and you'd have to like saw the bottom off a little or the top off a little. You have to like let it open up. But the smell, oh my God, the smell was so good. It would just fill up the entire house. And so many of my childhood memories are based in that. And so when I got married, I married a fake tree family. Okay. So my mother-in-law and father-in-law, my husband, never had a real tree. I was like, oh my God, this might be a deal breaker to marry you because you've never had a real tree. And I don't know what's harder, going from a fake tree to have to mess with a real tree, because I'll be honest, yes, the needles fall, you have to bring it in, you have to go shopping, you spend $50 on it, at least that's around here. They're usually about $50 for like a middle of the road tree. Obviously you can spend like $100, but I can't justify that on a tree. So you have to deal with all of that. And then you have to take the ornaments off and the needles are pulling everywhere. And like, you have to do all that, which is kind of annoying. And then you have to figure out where to get rid of it. Luckily we live in the middle of the country, so we just burn our tree. Or is it harder to go from a real tree and the joys of a real tree to a fake one? Now, I will say this. It is really nice if you have a fake tree that has lights built in. Like, freaking genius, whoever came up with that. I mean, absolutely brilliant. That is one nice thing. But we have a fake tree this year. We actually have a little fake tree. We're remodeling our house still. And so I was like, okay, like that was, we have a couple fake ones. Like, I had one at my studio. We were gifted one. And that was just like the one that we pulled out. So we have a fake tree and it doesn't have the smell and you can't put the tinsel on it. Or have you ever done snow? You know, where you do like the snow and you pull the branches. Oh my gosh, we did that as kids. Such a mess, but so much fun. You can't really do that on a fake tree. Are you spending the holidays on the road? If so, what do you do in your truck? Do you like decorate it? Do you have like mistletoe hanging from your mirror? I mean, like, what do? Do you put a tree on the front of your truck? I'd love to see it. If you deck out your truck for Christmas, I would love you to post it and tag either Chrome and Steel Radio or tag Mother Trucker Yoga. I would love to see what you do for the holidays, because there's nothing better than driving down the road and you look over and see a huge semi coming by and it is like decked out for Christmas. This one guy had like window clings on his window. I was like, hell yeah, that's so awesome. You must have stopped at Walgreens. or like the wreath on the front of the truck. I absolutely love that. So what do you do on your truck, if anything, for the holidays? Both. So Alan, so let me get this straight. If you're talking about the tree, you have a live tree in your house and a fake tree at the same time? Or did you have one and then the other? Rebecca says that she has a live tree too. I know, like, I'm just so partial to the live tree. I have to tell you a funny story. So I'll see if I can move my computer all the way over. So I'm in my office, and if you can see out the window, like, those are like pretty big pine trees. Okay. So we have these really, really big pine trees And we just recently had them thinned out so that they wouldn't die. But anyway, so we had some by the road, and my husband had this brainiac idea a couple years ago. He's like, I got to cut this tree down anyways. So let's cut down the best one that like the top 10 feet of the tree are like Christmas tree worthy. So I actually have a Facebook Live video on my personal page. He's cutting down the tree to fall on the road just right, to hopefully be able to not crack the top of the tree. I mean, you saw how tall those trees are. So I'm like videotaping him cut down the tree with a chainsaw, right? Trying to get it to fall right. The first one doesn't work. The top cracks, obviously. Second one, third one. Like that was our attempt at like trying to be lumberjack tree Christmas tree cutters. But I thought it was pretty funny. Like we've tried to cut our own in that way. We've pulled some from our backyard before. We did that at my parents' house a few times, like Charlie Brown trees. But do you, if you do live trees at your house, do you go and cut them yourself? Like, do you do like, oh, you go out with your family and your little backpack and your little hatchet? All my kids have their own hatchets. They're like constantly trying to cut things. Total cul-de-sac. My son's 11. I think it was like a year or two ago. He's like, can I go outside and cut trees? Like, yep, just cut the dead ones. With his hatchet. So he's out there with a little axe, his hatchet. He's out there for like an hour or so, comes back in. I'm like, how'd it go? It's like, good. We're like, did you only cut the dead trees? He's like, yep. I figured it out because I would cut into all the trees and I would see if the wood was dead or alive. Please. The next time any parent tells their child that they can hatchet trees in their woods, give them the disclaimer of how you know what a dead tree is. Hence, it's laying down on the ground, cracked from the root. Like, we couldn't be mad at him. It's just like we didn't really inform him exactly how to figure out what was a dead tree. We just kind of thought it was implied. But total cul-de-sac story. I just thought that was funny. But you do every year. I love it. So, yes, I prefer a live tree over a fake tree. But I have totally pulled back this year and gave in to my husband and said, we will do a fake tree only because this was totally self-motivated, only because if that makes him a little bit happier to continue to do our house, he's a contractor by trade, I will give him anything he needs to that capacity to make that happen. So if not having a real tree this year makes him work a little bit more and get a little bit more done, I will gladly give in to the real tree. But next year, my friends, next year, the game's on. When the holiday season, like, I don't know if any of you are friends with me on Facebook, I often talk about gift giving and how I'm not a huge fan of gift giving, but I do like thoughtful gifts. How many of you find yourself getting caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the holidays on an anxiety level? What I mean by that is I went shopping yesterday because I have this party I have to go to on Saturday. And like, I'm a country hick, okay? Like, I am not club chic. I am not fabulous. I am pretty simple. And I was like, I don't own anything to wear to this party. And I had to get some things for my kids for Christmas. And so I'm at the mall. It's like 45 minute drive from where I am. And so I'm at the mall and like, you can just see people like buying stuff. And I wonder sometimes, like, what are you buying that for? Is that for yourself? Does that person actually want or need that? Like, I guess I find myself a lot during the holidays asking myself in my head, do I really need this? Does that person really need that? And obviously it's like the joy of giving gifts, but have you ever gotten a gift that totally felt like it was like an afterthought gift? Like, oh, I don't have anything for you. One year, a family member was we like we do gift exchange, and now finally I have my sisters on board where we like go out to dinner and like do something fun for Christmas, and we don't buy each other gifts, which I'm so happy about because I just don't need anything. And if I really want something, like I'll either say, hey, I want this, or I'll just buy it myself. But like we're opening gifts, and like I open this up and it's these like weird slippers that I would never wear. And she should know that. Well, she does know that. And then she like proceeds as like, oh, they were like on clearance at Menards. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to get these because I didn't have anything for you. Like, if you're going to buy me a gift for Christmas and you're thinking I don't have a gift for Hope, I should just buy her something. I give you permission to not buy me anything, okay? I don't care about gifts in the sense of like, I just need to have something there. Equally as much, I think sometimes I might come across a little Scroogey when I kind of am a little bit more hesitant when I'm like, I'm not gonna buy you something if I don't know what to get you. I'm not just going to buy you something that doesn't like speak to me, where it's not like, oh my gosh, that person would love that. Or I know that they need that. Or I really want to give that to that person. Like there has to be some sort of connection to the giving of the gift. I'm not a big fan of giving stuff. I mean, is anyone else there with me where it's just like, I find it exhausting. And then like, is it really worth going into debt or credit carding all of these Christmas gifts just to be like, ooh, for like 30 seconds. And then come January 15th and you get your credit card bill and you're like, oh my God, how did I spend that much money? Like, I don't know. Am I alone? Am I alone where it's just like, my kids, I try to really follow that line because I see this a lot where it's just like, it's about stuff and like who has the name brand things and who has the fanciest stuff and how much can I give? And like, one, give for the right reasons. Two, like give gifts that people actually need or want or going to appreciate. And three, sometimes it doesn't need to be stuff. Sometimes it doesn't need to be stuff. Like my kids love making ornaments. And they love making cards and they like giving experiences. My son now babysits and he's like, I can give my niece, my aunt with my sister, babysitting. I'm like, she would love that. Like, who does not love a babysitter giving their time so that you can go out and be an adult for a few hours? Like, who doesn't love that? So I'm a really big fan of thoughtful gifts. Like things that people will actually appreciate and need. Now, that can be something not very glamorous. Like maybe you want a tripod for your phone. Maybe you want I got some things here. Maybe you want the Rode Pro rotisserie. Maybe you want the lunchbox. Maybe you need a new phone charger. Whatever it is, like, ask for those gifts. Give those gifts. Maybe someone just needs a night out with you. Maybe somebody needs a hug. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just, the older that I get, the more I'm just like, you know, I could be doing something else with this money. I could be giving it to the food pantry. I could be like saving up to take my kids. I really want to take my kids on a mission trip one day. Like there's so many things that I can be doing and I'm not opposed to giving gifts. I'm opposed to giving gifts just for the sake of giving them. I find myself at the store way too often where like I pick this thing up and I'm like, all of a sudden there's like a part of my brain that's like, this toy is going to get wrecked in like 3 hours. This toy is going to get played with for like 2 days and then probably the pieces lost. Like, am I the only parent out there that like, this is like the conversation that I'm having in my head. And then I just like put it back and then I pick it up again and then I put it back and then I pick it up again. And I'm just like, And I don't just want to give my kids money. I mean, they're 11, 9, and 5. You can't really do that. Although they do like getting gift cards so they can go and like buy stuff themselves, which is good for like budgeting and learning money management. But yeah, I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And I, like I said, I'm not a Scrooge. I love giving gifts. Like I love, love, love giving gifts. I'm like kind of uncomfortable opening gifts. I'm getting better at it. But giving gifts for the right reason. So this holiday, I'd love to know, like, did you buy, make, plan a gift that's like, wow, like you really feel like, you know, the person getting it is going to love it. Like I love that my grandma used to always give us dish towels. And when we were a kid, I was like, why am I getting this dish towel? And so every year, all of our grandkids got a dish towel. So then when we were 18, we had 18 dish towels to start our house. And I lived at home for quite a while afterwards, and I lived with my husband. And then we built a condo because he's a builder. And I had 18 dish towels and rags to have in my kitchen. And my grandma had been passed. What a meaningful, thoughtful, purposeful gift. Like, I get it. I'm going to do that one day with my grandkids if I ever have one or some. But like, what are meaningful gifts that you love? I know a lot of people give ornaments to their kids every year because then you have 18 ornaments to start your own Christmas tree. Like, how cool is that? Do you like give the gift of an activity? So we're really big. Like my kids love roller skating. And we love snowboarding and skiing. And so it's like, that's part of their gift. Like they get passes to be able to do that. And we can go and enjoy that as a family. And I remind them of all that a lot, where it's like, this is part of your gift. Just so you know, this wouldn't be possible. But like, what do you do? Like, I remember as a kid, we made like the cookies in the mason jar, like all the ingredients. And then we'd make them together with people that we gave them to. So what is a meaningful gift? Like, what do you like to give? What do you like to get? I am a total handprint nerd. I love when my kids do anything with handprints and footprints. I know my oldest is almost 12, but like, I love that memory of a handprint and like putting the handprint in concrete when you do a driveway or on the wall or on like some sort of a piece of paper, and then it's like a cute little ornament or whatever it is. I don't know. There's just something really special about that I really love, probably more than getting stuff. So what is it that you love? I would love to know, because I'm always open to new traditions or new gift giving strategies that you might like and you might want. Maybe it's a Mother Trucker yoga membership, just putting it out there. Then you can listen to me all day long in the cab of your truck. So there's no excuses to not have a plan, because I'll be right there with you. Shameless plug. Okay, but what is it that you like to give? How is it that you can end your new year? I'll leave you with this. I believe that we all are very much in the driver's seats of our lives. That we in fact have more control than we think we do over the things in our lives that feel like they are out of control. The hardest part is to take that first step. The hardest part is to reach out and say to a friend, I need your help. The hardest part is to say, today is a new day. I'm going to make a change. Those are really the hardest things. The action of actually doing those things is actually pretty easy. Once you get the ball rolling, it's like going to the gym and then not going for 2 weeks. And then it's like, oh, I don't want to go, because you've lost momentum. So I want you to know that your life matters. I want you to know that your life matters and that you deserve to be fit and healthy. I want you to know that your life matters and you deserve to have your spouse or to have your neighbor or to have your kid look at you and say, wow, look at you. You look great. You deserve to know that your life matters, that when you are 85 years old, you are still doing everything that you want to do on your own free will because you look back and you saw that you had a plan and you saw that you took action on that plan and you saw that you reached out for help on that plan and it made it all worth it. It made it all worth it when you are at that point where you're like, I am so glad I was willing to get uncomfortable and do the things that were hard and reach out and ask for help because now I still have everything that I love in my life, including my health, because I made a choice that day. Today's the day, my friends. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Even if you eat 5 Christmas cookies, you can still get out and walk. You can still drink water. You can still do good the rest of the day. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. I want to let you know that I believe in you. I absolutely believe in you, or I wouldn't be reading federal regulation to the point where I feel like I'm rubbing my face on sandpaper. I believe in you. I know that you can do it. If you feel like this broadcast might help somebody today, might entertain somebody today, please share it out. That's the best way that we can get our message out here at Chrome and Steel Radio. A huge shout out to all of our fans, to all of our viewers. Thank you so much for tuning in. I always go back and read the comments on all of my Daily Dose of Hope shows. So if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a concern, please drop it in the comment section. You can reach out to us. You can friend me on Facebook, Hope Zavara. You can find us on Mother Trucker Yoga. Please follow Mother Trucker Yoga. We have some pretty epic things happening in 2020. And I'm like chomping at the bit, but I don't like to put the cart before the horse and one day at a time. But until next time, remember that no matter how hard life gets, never lose hope. Today is your daily dose of hope. Have a great Thursday.